I was dumped by three men on the same night.
Embarrassing to admit, but it felt like it just destroyed everything.
So I had to be like, no, you're remembering it wrong.
Phase one is like full misery.
It's really hard. You want to be like, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, literally.
I just came away from it feeling nothing and hollow.
Dating doesn't necessarily have to exist to find a long-term partner. I'm going to be absolutely fine. Hi, I'm Dee Salmon, and this is The Hookup, where we talk all things love, sex, dating, and relationships. And it's the last episode that we have without Pip. She'll be back next week. Really exciting. But as we've been doing each week, we have a guest, co-host, and really excitingly today, we have Miss Camille in the studio. Hello.
Hi, Dee. I'm usually in the studio.
She is.
I'm usually behind that camera. Listening to your VMs, DMing you,
exactly.
Laughing, crying.
She's popped into a few of the episodes. You've probably seen her and heard from her. But yeah, Camille has been filling in for Pip producing for the past month. And now she's going to have her very own episode. Camille, you wanted to do this particular topic today. Why did you want to do it?
Oh, Dee. I have been soft launching throughout all the episodes that I have popped into that my boyfriend, ex, now, did break up with me. And I wanted to do an episode about how to get over the breakup because, God, there's just so much you feel. This is my first ever breakup. So I just wanted to discuss and hear from you guys about how to get over it. I'm confused.
There may be some tears. No, we...
Hold it back. I cried to my Uber driver the other night. The poor man, he was very confused.
See, this is the thing. Breakups are horrific. They're horrendous. They're so sad. They're traumatizing. But they can also be some of the most amazing experiences of your life, which we're going to unpack in this episode.
Yes.
We really want to find out your advice on some of the best ways to get over someone, the best ways to kind of heal, what you've found has worked. Do you block them? Do you stay friends? Do you slowly wean off them casually, just keep sleeping together? And how can you come out of a breakup feeling ready to date again?
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it.
Okay, so we know breakups are a universal experience. Pretty much all of us, and we will get into the percentages later, have gone through a breakup. But Dee, every single day, 144,000 couples worldwide decide to part ways or get a divorce. Quick math from you. How many couples an hour do you think that is?
Oh, God. This is really going to show my math skills. This is not my strong suit. So 144,000.
Yes. Every single day.
I don't know. Is that like a couple hundred a minute?
It's more than 6,000 heartbreaks every hour, and that's roughly one every 34 seconds.
Oh, my God.
I know. We're so heartbroken.
So right now in this episode, there's already been, breakup.
Sorry about that one. Oh, that one hurt.
That one really
that
hurt.
That one really hurt.
No, it is so universal. While so many movies, so many books, so many songs, like it is one of those things that I think like when you go through it, you understand so much more about the world. You're like, oh, this makes sense now, right? Like
completely.
This song finally hits in a way it never did.
Ugh.
We asked you, how many breakups have you gone through on our Instagram at Triple J The Hookup? 6% of you said none. 21% of you said one. 65% of you said five and under, and 9% of you said six and more.
Mm.
Okay. I need to know what counts as a breakup because I have had two, not long-term relationships, but two like boyfriend and girlfriend breakups. But I reckon I've had like, at least six plus like
situationship
breakups.
Friendship breakups, are we counting those?
No. I think we do need to do a whole episode on friendship breakups because that is, I think, a very different experience. But I reckon like heartbreaks, I reckon I've had at least like six.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh God, I don't want any more.
Yeah. I've been through the ringer with the ghosting, the situationships, the guys that won't commit.
It's a different feeling though, I've thought.
Yeah.
Like this breakup, I genuinely could feel my heart shatter and it's been a different emotional process, which we will be talking about later, like all the stages of grief that we do go through. But then there's been situationship breakups. I was dumped by 3 men on the same night.
Sorry.
I know. I had just bought the Clitsucker 3000 and I was ready to go. And I was so excited and I'd messaged all of them to see which one was available. Ghosted by 2. One sent me a lovely message being like, I don't want to see you anymore. I didn't even tell them about the toy.
Maybe they would have changed their mind.
Yeah.
No, I do think that there is something to say about a like long-term relationship breaking up because it's almost like, we'll talk about this, but you're mourning your future, right? Like the possibility. Situationship breakups can sometimes hurt a lot.
It's more ego-based.
I think it's more just like your ego's crushed rather than like your heart is breaking. Because a lot of the episodes that we've done previously about love with experts, we know that love actually is something that takes a while to actually form between two people. And what you might be experiencing is actually just limerence or, you know, the honeymoon experience rather than like proper companion love. But we wanted to unpack, how long does it actually take to get over someone? Because I think it came from Sex and the City, Camille, that famous line of like, it takes you half the time that you were in the relationship for.
Yes.
So like say you were with them for like a year, it'll take you half a year to get over them. Matt sent us a DM and said, a year ago now and it's still the worst. Wouldn't wish this on anyone. What do you think about the time frame?
I would actually agree with Sex and the City. I do feel like you obviously can experience your sadness and your grief for as long as you need. But it's probably been 2 months since we broke up. I had been in a 6 month, maybe 8 month long relationship. And I'm starting to feel a little bit more back to myself. I'm starting to see other people. I'm not crying every time we mention it. Like, it's the processes. I'm going through all the steps now and I do feel like I'm coming out of the end. So yeah, it's kind of living up to the 3 month kind of
The time frame.
The time frame.
Yeah. I think as well, it's really interesting with people who take longer, and we'll talk about this some more later, but like whether or not it's from not going through the grieving process properly and also potentially not getting quote-unquote closure. My first ex and I think we were together for like 8-9 months and I reckon it took me 3 years to get over him.
Like, was that because of first heartbreak?
I think first love, first heartbreak. It was a really traumatic breakup that involved a car accident. I also just hadn't, he like kind of ghosted me, like he never ever replied to any of my messages and never heard from him again. And so I think because I didn't have that closure, it took me so long to, I think, like properly, I was like chasing just like wanting any sort of something from him.
It's a massive element to it. And then there's also the when you have mourned the relationship while you're already in the relationship. So a lot of my friends have, we're all dropping like flies at the moment, have broken up.
That's what happens in your late 20s. It's like,
don't drag me into that.
Yeah, but like you get to a point though where like you either have to decide, is this long term or it's not? And people start to make those decisions.
Exactly. And when you're mourning that relationship already, you're kind of fast tracking the mourning by the end of it.
What do you think about the difference between the person who is breaking up with the partner or the person who's being broken up with? Do you think that they are different in the way that you then grieve that
Absolutely.
Relationship?
I mean, again, it kind of goes back to grieving before the relationship is over. I'd say the person that is breaking up with you has already considered it, is already processing how they feel about it. And then by the time they break up with you, they're pretty certain that they want that decision. Whereas it's a complete shock or it's like just something new that you haven't really thought about at that point. So you're already on different timeframes with that. So yeah, I think there's a difference. We got DMs from a few of our listeners agreeing. We heard from Jazzy saying you heal differently when you are the breaker-upper compared to when you're being broken up with. And Kevin also said you can tell a lot about the breakup, who got dumped and who is doing the dumping.
When you look at them and you go, all right, who's crying in an Uber? And who's not?
My poor Toyota Camry is speeding down Brunswick Street. Let's get this go home. But the glow up as well, like I do feel like I'm glowing up, and that's because I've had to phoenix myself and resurrect. We will be talking about glow ups later.
Yeah. And we got this voice memo from Gabrielle.
Personally, I called off my first long-term relationship as we grew apart. I was pretty checked out by the end and moved on with my life quite quickly, whereas he was more upset. My next relationship, however, did not end mutually, and again, but I was the one who was devastated by it, and it took me close to a year to process it. So I've definitely had both sides of the coin.
I think as well it can depend on the type of breakup, right? Because as you know, you can have an amicable breakup. You can have two people who just realize together that it's not really heading in the direction they want anymore, whatever, you split up. You can have people who are completely blindsided and had no idea that someone was feeling a type of way, or you can have, you know, people who have to move overseas or grow apart or whatever it is. You also can be broken up with through cheating, which can be so painful. And this was something that Amy sent a voice memo about.
Being broken up with, it hit me hard and it truly knocked me. I cried for days, felt a grief that I'd never felt before. It also didn't help that they broke up with me because they had cheated on me the weekend before and decided they wanted to be with that other person instead. So that didn't make me feel too great. I still get flashbacks to that time and I get angry at what they'd done and how they made me feel.
I feel like cheating would be one of the hardest breakups to go through.
The loss of trust, and I guess also just the judgment on yourself. Like, you are wondering, what did I do wrong? What could have I done better? Why was I making them unhappy enough to go and cheat on with someone?
Yeah. I just feel like you probably stay in that stage of anger for a lot longer and it would actually take you quite a while to like come to a place of feeling okay about the breakup. Another thing that can definitely get in the way of your healing process is when you have to see them all the time. So this happened to Sophie. She went through a breakup with her partner and they're from a small country town. And so she basically bumped into him always.
Being a small town is quite isolating, and so he kind of became my whole support system, him and his family. And then when we broke up, the thing is, in a small town, it's really hard to kind of, you know, you always see each other, always see him around, shops, on the road, at the pub, whatever. He'd always be there. So it was very hard to let go.
I actually can't think of anything worse.
It's like primary school or high
school. Seriously.
You're just like, you have to go sit with them at math and you just can't, you can't get away from them.
And it's like even you just seeing your ex the other day.
Yeah.
And it's just like the wave of emotion. I remember like going through a breakup and thinking that you saw them everywhere. Like, yes. I remember just like going to the shops and being like, like, oh my God, that's them. And then it's just like a guy that looks similar.
Or a car that was like looks like his, like drives by and you're like, oh my God.
It's like you're constantly on edge and you're constantly alert to like, am I going to bump into them? And so, yeah, sometimes I think I just feel so sorry for people who have to like work with their ex or, you know, have to be in close quarters and see them all the time.
Do you think though that seeing them consistently is going to get you through the breakup?
I actually don't. If you're hurting, like this is obviously if you haven't had like an amicable breakup and you're really hurt, I actually don't.
I agree. I'd be a mess.
I'm in such of the camp, which we'll talk about, of like clean cut. Okay, well, let's talk about if there's phases, right?
Yes.
Navigating a breakup can often mirror the 5 or 7 stages of grief. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might move through like shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then finally acceptance. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about personal growth.
Yes.
And we had this voice memo from Alex talking about the phases.
It starts with like a phase 0, which is the actual breakup. But I also think that involves ripping the Band-Aid while you're in shock. And then phase 1 is like full misery. It's giving yourself permission to feel the feels. Maybe you take time off work, crying, bed rotting. Maybe you order Uber Eats or you binge TV or you doom scroll or you don't shower or whatever you need just to like mourn properly. The next phase, phase 2, is like you're probably still sad and you don't need to be bright and shiny, but you commit to doing something every day for yourself. Like personally, I think it's committing every day for a full week, non-negotiable, to eating 3 proper meals, doing some form of exercise. Like it's non-negotiable and you just do it. And everything else can continue to be untouched and you continue to kind of ignore the rest of the world if you need to. But you set some like basic kind of life principles and you stick to them. And then at some point along this journey, you've booked in for some therapy. You get your mental health plan from your GP or you book in with your regular psych, go and talk to someone. You probably don't feel like it in the first couple of phases, but you should book it in at some point. It's like the only admin task that you have to do in those kind of preceding phases. This, in my opinion, is how you get out. I hope it helps.
I love that, Alex. Yeah. That was really, really helpful.
She's so right. Exercise is the biggest help at the moment, but also talking to people is like, I'm such a talker. I need to talk. But yeah, God, the stair climber hates to see me coming at the moment.
Been gymming in the breakup?
Oh my God, yeah. I've been marching up those stairs, listening to murder podcasts. Every day, my ass has never looked better. I'm feeling pretty fucking fabulous.
I think you're in the phase then, babe, of the glow up already.
Oh, I'm healed.
You've skipped so many.
My eyes twitching.
Do you feel like you've gone through like a bit of like, do you relate to the shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression stuff?
Yes and no. I think during the relationship or the end of the relationship, I definitely was feeling the end of it. So I did kind of start the mourning process. I think the biggest feeling I have felt is the just general sadness of the end of something beautiful and something that helped me through so much, something that taught me so much. And then also gratitude, I think. Like, I am so grateful for that relationship. I was like, felt so unlovable beforehand. Like, I did speak about this in an earlier episode we did, but just so unwanted. And this relationship proved to me that I can be wanted. And so I've come out of it better, regardless of the ending. So I'm really grateful for it. And my ass is looking amazing.
I know. I'm like, that is the great. I remember doing an episode with Alexis Fernandez, who's a neuroscientist, and she talks a lot about breakups on her podcast as well. And she mentioned that you should, do some sort of exercise. Mm. She, I think, talked about her breakup. She spoke about how she ran heaps, did lots of running. I don't know if I have like a go-to thing that I do, but I do know with my previous relationships in the breakups that I went through, I'm like a massive, massive journaler. So like just every day it was like getting all my feelings out by writing it all down. And I have definitely gone through experiences of just putting myself back out there straight away and dating someone new.
Yes.
And that was kind of like my way. I've gone through phases of partying heaps.
Oh, gotcha.
I feel like the massive like party phase, and then you kind of go into the phase of wanting to be healthy again and, start like going on the self-care journey.
How do we begin that though? What do you think is the beginning of the mourning process?
We got a lot of DMs from you talking about what you think the mourning process looks like. Paige said, I burnt his shirt that I wore and other sentimental things. I sent it to his door in the post. That was so healing. After 6 years together, packed up, moved states, grew, found myself, never felt better.
I love it.
I have to say, I am a huge fan of moving away, obviously within reason when you can.
Yeah.
But I think, and this is actually another tip that I've held from Alexis, you have to do something different.
Oh, 100%.
You have to do it. She is like a massive fan of the hair breakup, the haircut, the hair dye, the like do something completely different to what you normally do. And I always kind of imagine if I went through a breakup with my current partner, like I would absolutely move away.
Yeah.
I would not be able to deal with seeing everything in Melbourne that reminded me of them.
Yeah.
You know? Russell said, I found writing a letter and never sending it was so cathartic. Alan saying, cry, hazelnut chocolate, bang, reflect, period of self-focus, repeat, but 2.0 version.
Amen, Alan.
I like that. I like that of like the phases. Mm. Yeah, saying regardless of any details, focusing on yourself is key post-breakup for future you. And Ella saying no contact, delete all photos, reminders, lean into the sadness, got to feel to heal.
You've got to lean into it. I also really relate to Russell about writing a letter.
Have you found that?
Yeah, I was texting myself. So anytime that I felt the urge to text him, I would just text it to myself. And it really, really helped. So after during the first 3 days post-breakup, I would send so many text messages to myself being like, I miss you. Want you back. Please take me back.
I like that because you're kind of saying it to you.
Well, yeah. Oh, true. That's beautiful.
You're like, I miss the version of me I was.
Yeah.
You know?
But it was nice to actually see the time code of when you've sent it and compare it like a week later and be like, oh, I'm only sending these like once a week now. And it's like that urge to send them kind of lessened and being able to visually see how the process of mourning and the process of moving on was going was really cathartic.
I love that. I think that's really, really lovely because it's like another version of journaling, like what mine is. My best friend had a divorce party. It obviously wasn't a divorce. Actually, two of my really good friends had divorce parties.
And they were being divorced.
One of them was getting divorced. One of them was just going through like an 8-year relationship ending. But I think having some sort of ceremony, whether that's burning something, celebrating with your friends, having a cake, I think marking the occasion is really important because I think it sets like a clear idea of before and after.
Absolutely. I mean, why do we have funerals? It's a similar thing.
Exactly.
It helps with the mourning process. And I think when you are surrounded by people that love you and still love you and are there for you, it helps you move on because you know this isn't the end of the world. I've still got all this love surrounding me. I'm going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah. Jay sent us a voice memo with his tip on how to get over someone.
My best shortcut for getting over your ex is to write out the list. It's a list of everything that you didn't like about the relationship and even what you don't like about your ex. And it's a bit harsh, but it helps. You're going to refer to it as often as you need to. Because as you're grieving the loss of your relationship, naturally there's times that you'll miss your ex. There's times where you'll regret the breakup and you want to get back together with your ex. And it's at those times you're going to look at the list and hopefully that helps dispel those thoughts.
The list.
The list. I had a list.
Did you?
I had a list of everything that he did that hurt me.
Wow. See, my ex really didn't do much wrong.
Babe. It sounds like you had a really nice ex.
It was a beautiful relationship.
It does make it harder. But like I had to keep, every time I wanted to go back or every time I wanted to message, I would look at the list and be like, nope, remember when he did this and this and this and this and this. And it kind of made me be like, no.
It's a good slap in the face.
Yeah. Because I think like as humans, we look at things nostalgically and try and remember all the good things, right?
Totally.
Like it's just what we do with our brains. So I had to be like, no, you're remembering it wrong. You're remembering
he was a cunt.
This is actually what happened.
I mean, I love that. It's not something I needed to do. And I think that's fine. Like everyone is going to process a breakup very differently. Something that I am worried about, and maybe this is because I'm just an emotional little bitch, is that I'm feeling too much and I am putting it on people. I am continually trying to process it. I'm talking about it too much, but there are just so many emotions. And I can feel embarrassed by that. I can feel like I'm putting too much on other people because of that. We heard from Tabby who said, it's actually okay to feel the feels. You'll never get past a breakup if you don't process your emotions. Broke up with my ex of 5 years about 2 years ago. He still shit talks me, even though he was a cheating piece of shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Tabby.
I know.
Yeah, we actually asked you on our Instagram, how long are you able to mope, gossip, cry to your friends about the breakup? 13% of you said 1 month. 25% of you said up to 6 months. 58% of you said as long as needed. Love that. And 4% of you said the length of the relationship. Is this something that you're feeling, right? Like you're worried about talking about it too much with your friends. Surely your friends aren't like making you feel that way though.
No, they're not. However, I do have different friends for different emotions that I'm needing to feel. So I have some friends who I know are going to be like, oh, baby, and like tap me on the back. I've got one of my best friends. She was the person that came over right after the breakup. She brought a bottle of wine, a red chocolate rose, and then refused to talk about the man. And we just talked about our careers.
Okay.
And in the moment, it was so incredibly helpful because I got so distracted and I could see the future and I was speaking to my best friend about how great our lives are going to be. And then the following days, I had a sob to my mom, I had a sob to friends, and I got lots of advice from lots of people. But I think having some like harsh friends to slap you in the face and be like, babes, that's not much of a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, fine, is actually so helpful. There is, though, that fear of when you really need to talk about it and maybe you're in a group or you're at work and you're just wanting to be like, ah, he broke up with me. But like, can you burden people with like what you're actually dealing with?
It's so hard. I think that I was definitely someone, like I said, it took me 3 years. Like I was someone that I think over talked about my ex. Mm. I think my friends, bless them, like in hindsight, I'm like, they really, really had to deal with a lot of me crying, complaining, bitching, you know. And yeah, in hindsight, I'm like, no one ever complained. And I think, you know, my friends now will probably say like, oh, absolutely, we were there for you.
But yeah.
I think you kind of look back being like, all right, I should have. Like, that can get tiring sometimes,
absolutely,
you know?
Also, just surrounding yourselves with your friends who are potentially in long-term relationships or getting into new things and feeling that jealousy and not wanting to ruin their excitement for this new relationship by, like, being so upset by your own. However, maybe not being able to have conversations with them about how great their relationship is because you are mourning this relationship.
It's really hard. You want to be like, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, literally, it's me every day. Like, that's great. That's so amazing. Congratulations. I'm like that in general, though, to be honest. I'm like, oh, so you're in love. Like, oh, that's great.
It's like when you're on a train or something and you see people hooking up and you're just like, must be fucking nice. Yeah. Good for you.
Yep. Yep. Something that has actually really helped me, though, is getting under someone to get over someone. I love that.
The golden rule.
The golden rule. And you may kind of think, like, oh, is that going to cause a lot of emotional grief? Are you going to miss your ex? But statistics actually show that 65% to 90% of rebound relationships end within 3 to 12 months. But that's actually really helping boost personal confidence and accelerate emotional detachment from an ex.
You can.
You can.
You can move on really quickly with someone else and it'll help you heal. Yeah, Stella agrees with that. She reckons that you can heal whilst dating other people.
I'm a very firm believer that healing can be done whilst also dating others, because there's only so much time you should spend solely focusing on the grief that you're experiencing of the previous relationship, because the moment that you accept that it's over doesn't mean you'll be healed. It means that you're willing to explore connections with others and learn from those experiences.
Whereas Letitia, a few of you actually disagreed.
I see this so often amongst my friends and even myself in the past. I've fallen into this trap where maybe it's just a fear of being alone or the discomfort of it all. But yeah, you just get out of one relationship and the first person you meet in your single era, you end up getting in a relationship with them. And I honestly think it's just ultimately the detriment to the relationship, because you haven't healed and grown and learned from what was potentially the reason the last relationship ended. I think it's vital to take some time to heal in between relationships.
You're Miss Dump Him. You always say dump him.
I have friends that do that. Mm. And like, I understand it, but I really think you're doing yourself the biggest disservice by not dedicating a solid amount of time from taking a break.
Absolutely.
And taking a step out and really trying to process. Like, I'm just such a firm believer of like I said with the ceremony stuff, with the divorce party, blah, 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 of being like, right, what did I learn? What I want to do differently? What's my takeaways from this? Like, properly process it, then figure out what you want for your future, for yourself, and learn to be alone.
Mm.
I think time and time again, I see people do this where they go from relationship to relationship to relationship and they kind of just morph into the next person. They start dressing like them. They start becoming like them. And I'm like, I don't think you actually know who you are.
Absolutely not. Is there a difference, though, between obviously getting into this new relationship and being like, I got a new boyfriend, instead of kind of using someone, it's maybe a bad term, but using someone as a painkiller and just like hooking up with people? Should you still be solely boy sober, girl sober?
I think you should have a period of it. But I also think, like we heard from Stella, like, you can heal while seeing others. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you can like date casually and go have fun and meet new people and remind yourself like dating doesn't necessarily have to exist to find a long-term partner. And so I think dating can be really, really great. You can learn about yourself. You can have guys or people show interest in you again. And I think it can be really healing. What I think can be a problem is when people go from one relationship without processing anything at all into another.
Oh, I agree fully.
And I see that happen all the time.
All the time. Book a one-way trip to Greece, babe.
Do what Camille's doing.
She got manic and then she booked a trip
booked
to Greece.
A trip to Greece.
But I'm so excited for it.
We got Angus who kind of agrees with me on this one as well.
Something I've always struggled with is the need to move on first. And I feel like it's a personal slight if they move on before me. And I recently went through a breakup and I moved on somewhat fast. And I just came away from it feeling nothing and hollow. And it's made me just really miss my ex even more. And in the past, I've done a two-month thing where I didn't let myself move on for more than 2 months. And I wish I'd done it with this one because I just came away feeling even worse. And just getting under someone does not necessarily make things better because you're just delaying the shitty feelings that will inevitably come.
Yeah.
We got a DM from Sydney who, yeah, feels like it depends on the breakup context, right? She said, you know, you can have very different experiences. You can stay friends, it might be easy, or if it's bad behavior, abuse, cheating, would recommend cutting ties forever. If it's a one-sided breakup, then you usually need to short-circuit old habits and mates won't work. If she said the breakup is full of grief, then you need to feel the feels, but also do the work to move on. She said nothing worse than sleeping with someone new while still pining over your ex years later. I want to talk about the contact versus no contact debate.
Yeah.
I think Sydney's right. Like it is really breakup dependent, but let's talk about it in the sense that just like you're on the receiving end of a breakup. You didn't do the breaking up. You have been broken up with. Let's say there's no like cheating or whatever. It's just like a breakup, kind of what you've experienced.
Yep.
What do you think? What do you think about like the block and the no contact?
I am so, so grateful we went full no contact. I think I'm an incredibly jealous person, and I think I because there was still so much love between both of us, I think it would have been more difficult to move on. Seeing him have fun, hearing about his life, all those things that like you want to know, I think being completely cut off just helped me kind of process it better.
Yeah. What I do think needs to happen is you need to tell the person beforehand, like, hey, I actually think that we should go no contact. Like, this is what I need to heal. Like, wish you all the best, blah, blah, blah. My ex just went no contact.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you kind of feel like you're being ghosted.
Yeah.
Chelsea saying, ex and I broke up, stayed on and off in contact. It was so messy. Ended up being okay and thinking things would maybe lead to us getting back together. And he got another girl pregnant.
No.
I still don't think that I'll ever find someone else.
No, Chelsea, don't think that. Like, yeah. I am in the depths of despair, maybe as of last week. And I'm healed down. And something that my housemate actually told me, which has stuck by with me and is maybe a quote that I'm going to hold forever. She said, you'll find love again. It might not be the shape of him, but it'll be there. And I just like, I think that was such a pivotal moment within that breakup of being like, I will find love again. Like it's not just this be all and end all person. There's so much love out there. There's so much love within me already. And when the time comes, when I meet someone, if I want to meet someone, I love being single right now, but if I do meet someone, there is going to be love and there is hope. So Chelsea, you are absolutely going to find someone else and someone that's going to be so much better because you've learnt from this relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of blocking though, Acacia did send us a voice memo recommending you do the block.
My ex and I, he wasn't my official ex, but it was like a really intense situationship. But we've been going through this continuous cycle over the past 2 years where every 4 to 6 months we will block and unblock each other. He actually came back into my life really recently after having me blocked for 6 months. And it's such a weird feeling in terms of moving on because it's almost like you're waiting for this person to keep coming back because you know they're going to. And we had a conversation the other day where we decided we were going to cut it off for good this time. And we said as our final act of care for each other, neither of us were going to reach out ever again. So we ended up blocking each other. And although we said we're done for good this time, it's almost like my brain is so used to the cycle that deep down I'm still expecting for him to reach out eventually. I think being in a cycle like this has really delayed me being able to heal fully from the situation and almost blocks you from kind of moving on because you're always expecting them to just be there. It's like even when we had each other blocked, there was a time where he had a fake account and was looking at my Instagram, or when I would be out with my friends, I would ask to use my friend's phone to check up on his Instagram just to see like what he was doing. And it's like no matter what, I always know he's there in the background. And although we've decided to break the cycle this time, it's like I don't believe it. It makes it really, really hard to be able to actually block him out of my life and fully be able to move on.
Oh,
you guys need to get a hobby. I've heard bouldering. It's really big with the kids right now. Go climb a rock.
I mean, I have to admit I've done the ex stalk. It's not the fake account, but like just the just constantly going on their profile. Yeah. Like anything new, any updates. It
makes me ill.
A lot of you, though, disagree with the no contact and you think that there are ways to be friends with your ex. Beck saying you can still be friends if you forgive each other and have time apart to break old habits. And Tony sent this voice memo.
I was with my ex-partner for about 9 years and we'd split. It was very amicable. We needed a few months apart before we could really talk to each other. And that space was, we really needed that space. It's been a few years, but since then we've become friends. She actually came to my wedding and I've played with her kids, which is really cool. We don't talk a lot, but I feel really lucky that I still maintain that friendship. She was someone who was an important part of my 20s. So why wouldn't I want that?
Yeah, I do think as well it is something that hopefully after the no contact, once you heal, you could come back and like what he's experienced, be there for each other again if that works. Alexa saying going no contact before I asked all those questions and processed the breakup damaged me more long term. And that's actually something that Bella went through.
All my breakups have ended us with going no contact. When I've done this, it's really helped me sit with my emotions and feelings and just separate my identity from the relationship. Obviously, it's really hard, especially the first month, but ultimately it's just to allow me to process and move on and put my energy in friends, family, and hobbies.
Yeah. It's, I just think you do need, like I said, that space.
Oh my God.
The break, the no contact, change your hair.
You need to have your own life. You're your own person. Yeah.
Do something new.
Go bouldering.
What do you think, Camille, about closure?
Mm.
As someone who chased it for years, do you think it's necessary/real?
Yeah. I mean, there's closure to everything. You have closure to friendship breakups. You have closure to the situationship breakups. You have closure when you go to the bakery and there's not the croissant's not selling and you have to walk away pretty upset. I deal with that a lot.
I was like, something's triggering you. Something's triggering you this morning with the croissant.
But there's fucking love croissants.
That's so funny.
I love a croissant. But closure is so necessary. I did some research about closure and there is this thing called the no contact rule, and it's stopping communication with your ex-partner for 30 to 90 days, and it works significantly better for your emotional healing than staying in touch. Psychologically, it's by cutting them off, it's actually treating your ex like a drug withdrawal, and it's lowering your stress hormones and resetting your brain's reward system, which is so interesting because it is an addiction. Love is an addiction. You are chasing that high, and once you immediately don't get it, what are you going to do? It's like what you know, and that is the dopamine and cortisol reset. So constant contact with them keeps the stress hormones high. And it's going to trigger endless dopamine loops. While the silence is going to let you reset, you're going to reduce rumination and you're going to start new habits, which is so incredibly important. It's also prolonging your grief. It's if you speak with them, you're getting false hope. The relationship could continue.
Yeah.
And you're also reliving all the pain over and over and over again. It's dangerous.
I think this is great, guys. Research shows.
Mm.
You heard it here first.
Mm-hmm.
Do the no contact if it makes sense for what you're going through and experiencing. Something that happens quite a lot, though, Camille, is the I think the soft launching of the breakup where people try and reverse going from serious to casual and just like slowly keep sleeping with them, which, yeah, couldn't be me, but it happens.
You find someone else.
You keep hooking up with your ex. this was something that Sophie experienced, and she reckons it actually hurt her for the long term.
Every time he would leave my house afterwards, like, I would feel great in the moment. It would be so, like, we were both really happy. It felt like, you know, old times, and everything was great. Like, it's like, yeah, I can do this. I can get through this. And also, yeah, totally can do a casual thing. No, because when he would leave, I just was hit with this huge wave of, like, loneliness and sadness.
I just think, like you said, what the research shows, like, you're just, like, prolonging even more heartbreak, don't you think?
Completely, yeah. It's just, you're reliving it. You're reliving the breakup every time he walks out of your door. It's like you both don't want each other at this point. Or maybe you do, and that longing is even harder. And through the longing, you're just feeling so alone in all of that. You have to feel that loneliness to move on. It is like the
It's one of the phases.
It is so dangerous. Like, I think you need to cut all contact because you are just reliving the relationship over and over again. But you gotta live to learn.
And this is what I think we should end the episode on is, can breakups actually be great if you allow yourself to go through those phases that we were talking about, the denial, the anger, the grief? Like, that can actually be something that'll help you in the long term. We asked you on Instagram, do you think people who have never dealt with a breakup are missing out? 57% of you said yes. And this is something that you were reflecting on.
Oh, completely. I mean, I am so grateful I went through this breakup because I was missing out on this massive human experience. I've never experienced heartbreak before. Olivia Rodrigo's album dropped. Like,
it hit in a way.
I understand Adele. I understand so many breakup songs. And it's actually opened up this whole new world. And that's not just based on music. I understand what people are talking about at parties. I understand, like, this whole new element of life. It's really cool experiencing a new emotion. It's really cool having experience like love and loss. My housemates were so glad we broke up, not because he was a dick, lovely man, but because they were like, you were 24 and you need to experience this. If you're stuck with the same person for the rest of your life, some people are, but you are missing out on this pivotal moment that really shapes you as a person.
I really agree. And I think that I actually love breakups. Like, I have to say,
content.
Not for content. I actually find that every time I have gone through heartbreak, I have come out better than ever.
It's the phoenix
rising from the ashes. I really do feel like each time it really acts like a reset for me, a glow up, a way to be able to go, what do I want from life? Who do I want to be? What have I learned from that relationship? And where do I want to go?
It's the collateral damage of being a human and loving someone.
Absolutely.
You've got to feel it.
Absolutely. And for everyone who has experienced a breakup, will know, like, you are going to be okay again. This idea of, like, yeah, well, you were talking about before, you're never going to find love. Bren said, can take away a piece of you at a time, but in the end, it's always a chance for growth. You're always going to be okay. And in a 2023 study, they looked over 1,000 divorced adults across the UK, and as many as 65% of people revealed that they had had an improvement in nearly all areas of their life post-breakup, with only 9% of people saying things got worse.
I love that.
And I think people don't see that in the moment, right? Like, when you are experiencing that, like, loss, that grief, that heartbreak, you're in the feels and it feels devastating. You think, I'm never, ever going to feel good again.
Yeah.
What does it look like? What does my future look like? Will I ever find love? And I do think that, like, the stats show, you will always come out of it probably better than you were before. Yeah,
completely. I mean, 65% is huge. It's like, we get through it. It's what we have to do. We're resilient people, and love is meant to be shared with so many other people. It's not just that one drug dealer you're dating. We heard from Nathan about how grateful he is for his breakup and how it shaped him into a better person.
To be honest, that breakup changed my life because it felt, and this is pretty
embarrassing to admit, but it felt like it just destroyed everything. You know, when you break up with someone, you're not just grieving the loss of being with someone, but your lifestyle changes and everything changes. So you sort of realize that you're in this position where you're not really happy, so you have to find a way to change it. And it was a good lesson, I guess, because you learn a lot about yourself. And I traveled and I saw new countries and new cultures and met new people and had different perspectives. And then I had a new goal in life, so I went to study and go through all of that to, you know, get a new career and be happy with yourself sort of thing.
I like, even if it comes from a place of ego, I'm like, I'm all for it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You know how some people go to the gym or they like try really hard to glow up to be like, I'm going to make my ex regret the day that he ever broke up with me or whatever. But I do think like, even if it comes from that place, it's you're still like on the right track.
Oh my
you know
God.
What I mean?
You're supporting yourself and you're choosing yourself.
Because like, at some point you will stop caring about what they think, 100%. But then you'll have this life that you're so proud of.
Oh, I used to sleep with my barista and and he like dumped me and I still went and got coffee because I was like, I'm going to start doing the gym and I'm going to walk into the cafe in my activewear. He's going to be like, God damn it. He didn't give a shit, but it made me feel good.
And now you couldn't give a fuck about him and you're like grieving someone else. Yeah. Let that be a lesson.
Endless.
No, we are actually going to do another episode with a clinical psychologist about how to heal, get their perspective and talk about, because we got a DM, Camille, from someone who was saying like, I'm going through a breakup right now, but I'm dating again, but I feel like I have all these walls up and I'm really scared. Mm. And I think that's such a common experience, right? Like you might want to put yourself out there again and you want to be open to love, but something is getting in the way.
Totally.
So I really want to get some advice for people who are experiencing that as well in a breakup. But oh my God, I hope this was helpful.
I hope so too.
And how fun to have Camille. Everybody, send her a lot of love in the DMs. We'll probably get you back knowing Pip and I will be on another holiday at some point soon.
I keep willing they get sick.
Between the both of us, whether it's like a holiday or like COVID or the flu.
Honestly, I'm here like every month.
She'll be back.
I'll be back.
And thank you so much to you as well for all of your DMs and your voice memos. Appreciate you. And make sure you follow us on our Instagram @JJTheHookup. And we'll see you in the DMs.
Bye.
Bye.